There's common themes when it comes to safety and past trauma. Themes like, do I belong? There's something wrong with me, or I'm different, or I stand out, which are what imposter syndrome is, right? And not all imposter syndrome comes from unresolved past trauma, but if it does, there's definitely going to be a relationship and then a nervous system that might get hijacked with those somatic symptoms that we listed earlier. When you're dealing with feelings of safety, the need to feel ease, but that's missing, or that's just what's coming up in and around. When your nervous system can get hijacked because of a past trauma, you become hypervigilant, even if you're not aware of it. And none of us are aware of all the things, right? I've been in therapy my whole adult life, and I can tell you, this is what I do every day, and I talk about it every day. So it's not to say that we're not all out there doing our best, right? But if something doesn't feel safe, we become hypervigilant, and then nothing feels safe.
Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast, photography education for a business you love. My name is Kim Box, and I'm your host with the collaboration and help of my co-hosts and business partners at the Motherhood Anthology, Jenny Kruger and Allison Craig. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast. I'm Allison, one of the partners here at TMA, and I'll be your host for a special episode. While I believe many of you will find value in what we're sharing, I want to begin by acknowledging that today's topic revolves around trauma, boundaries, and mental health. While informative, it may be triggering for some. Please prioritize your well-being and remember, this episode will always be available for you to revisit. Without further delay, welcome to today's episode on understanding the impact of trauma on creatives. So I guess to start, just tell us a little bit about you and yourself and your experience. We're going to be talking about all things specifically around trauma, habits, and all of that comes with experiencing trauma throughout our lives and what you're going to share with us today.
Sure. I was preparing for this and I was talking to my sister and I said, oh, funny enough, I'm going to be speaking to somebody on a podcast about trauma. And we were laughing because it's the thing that I'm going through as well, which is a trauma response. I'm a therapist and I do work specifically focused on trauma. And I'm also somebody who has been through and survived and identify as going through trauma. So I find my way into the work as being one of those people who, without knowing, was just always really comfortable with crisis, always really comfortable with being in those difficult situations that other people found uncomfortable, and found my way into the work of clinical trauma-focused work. It was through my own personal work, my own personal therapy, that I realized that, oh, my nervous system is very much connected to trauma and I'm comfortable with it, for better or worse. I'm comfortable kind of sitting with it. So that's a little bit of how I got here. But I started in the profession working with trauma during graduate school. Hurricane Katrina had just happened in New Orleans. I'm from New York. I was going to school, getting my master's degree in social work. And as a lover of New Orleans, somebody who had visited there before, somebody who also was still very naive about trauma, about oppression, about just the impact of things going on in the world, I was like, I want to go down and volunteer. So now my nervous system knows really nothing. I'm very naive. And I go down and I wind up moving there for 3 years working with this free health clinic. And it was a trauma dump for my nervous system. So creating a program, a mental health program, and sitting with folks who were in, their nervous systems were completely hijacked. They were in trauma. And that was my inroad professionally. And then I started doing work, went back to New York, and I started doing work with victims of domestic violence and sexual violence. And most recently, over the past 11 years, I've been living in Asheville, North Carolina. And I expanded my work as I began to understand more and more about trauma. I expanded my work to include not only people who identify as victims and survivors of domestic violence and sexual violence. I have a program for people who have used and are court ordered, who've used sexual violence. That's where I'm at right now. I do a lot of work, again, both kind of holding both of those parts of trauma and then doing my own work.
You're amazing. So I want to pause for a second because I have a feeling that our viewers are probably going, okay, first off, where is Kim Box? Because she's the one that normally hosts this. And two, what are we doing talking about trauma on a photography podcast? So I want to invite those that are going to be listening to this to hang around for a minute. We've got a lot that we're going to be sharing today. I think that for myself, my background, I used to be a nurse, and then being in the photography career for 12 years this year, I have seen so many people make shifts from either the medical profession or as a teacher into photography. And watching that happen and watching just some of the things that people come up against and how all of that coincides with, regardless of any past traumas that they've experienced in their lives, the past that the fact that they have experienced COVID collectively, we have as a world. So many teachers and frontline workers have dealt with that and haven't actually dealt with that. And then they're carrying that into trying to start and create a business. Not to mention everyone else in our community that might have past trauma in their lives that they don't even really recognize or see. Because I feel like, and maybe you'll agree with me, Marie, that the word trauma itself can just be such a trigger word for so many people. They want to just look the other way. They don't want to believe it. They're fine. Everything is fine. I think I've seen a million sweatshirts that even say that word. So for those that are listening today, I tried to pause and be open to what we're going to be talking about. I hope that you'll hear something that's going to resonate with you. And yeah, we're going to dive in. I guess from what I just said, we have a community that are, the majority is women. A lot of them are mothers. Many of them are past healthcare workers or teachers. And a lot of them have experienced the challenges of the pandemic firsthand, much less some or many have experienced past trauma in their lives. So how do you feel like unresolved trauma from those past experiences might affect their creativity within their business?
Sure. And I want to say, Allison, just before I get into that question, that I love that the Motherhood Anthology is asking these questions, because trauma is this loaded word. And also, if you're living in a body in this world, you've experienced something that stays with you and something that continues to have an impact on you. And that's really how I understand trauma. And I can talk more about that. To be in a world in relationship and community with people is also to experience trauma and or those impacts. So if you're in the world and in a body, I feel like there's things that we can relate to. And going into the question, I think that experiencing any past trauma affects everything that we do. In working with people and being a community, again, it impacts how we connect to others, our ability to be present, right? When we have work that's so passionate to us, photography, clinical therapy, our artwork, just being present in our families with our partners and our kiddos and our friends and our loved ones, it absolutely can affect our ability to do that. It can affect our executive functioning skills, our daily living skills. It can impact how and if we're able to juggle all the things that we juggle as parents, mothers especially. It impacts how we feel and just show up, how we feel emotionally, how we feel physically. I know that for myself, the way that I understand the way that I understand trauma, I think in kind of pictures. And there's an incident of trauma that we can experience, a big experience of trauma, or there's like trauma through time. And then something else happens and our nervous system responses. So it could just be like a flat tire and you have to pull off on the side of the road. And so your body, your nervous system, physically, it was like safety, the safety alarm goes off. And that, to me, I see those little like shavings, like magnetic shavings. So there's the main trauma or the first experience of trauma or the big experience of trauma or something negative. And then something happens that dysregulates us and makes us feel unsafe. And those shavings connect to the other trauma. When our bodies don't know that we're not being chased by the tiger or the bear, we just have a flat tire and we're safe, we're on the side of the road, but our nervous system, our bodies are responding. So just being able to show up embodied in our work when all the things are happening in the world, not to mention the pressure of what it means to be a parent, a mother, a business owner. And that's just to get in to the door to see the first client, right? So just our ability to show up. I was thinking and preparing and listening to some of your episodes and how y'all came to be, and really thinking about how this might impact the work as a motherhood photographer. And I can't think of a bigger blessing than being a mother, but I also know that for me in my journey, there was a lot of trauma associated with it. Mm-hmm. So things like infertility, adoption, miscarriage, a tendency to compare and despair with like our kids and other kids. And for me, I imagine that unresolved past trauma when you're showing up and you're working with a family in front of you or somebody who identifies as a mother in front of you and their child, if there's any unresolved issues around relationship with your mother, with your parents, I would imagine that absolutely could interfere. And again, maybe hijack your nervous system. Maybe, I don't know why I'm in a bad mood with this lovely family that I'm photographing, but that's what came up for me when I was thinking about that question, Allison.
Yeah. I think that a lot of times we talk about showing up to sessions and they go really poorly and we aren't quite sure why, or there'll be questions in the community about how to deal with XYZ. And what you're talking about right now, as far as showing up and maybe facing a family that is celebrating the arrival of their baby after successful IVF, and you as a photographer have had 4 failed IVF rounds, that is trauma. And I feel like for so many of us, we try to just put the cape on and keep going and show up and take pictures, but it makes it really difficult to do that when, and this goes back to a book that I read, Your Body Keeps the Score. And it really, for me, made me realize our feelings, it's not in our heads, it's in our bodies. When you're feeling sadness, where are you feeling that in your body? It's not in your head, it's somewhere. It's living somewhere in you. And that's the same thing when you're showing up to a session and maybe you have a dad that's being really mean to the kids because he's losing his patience, but maybe that's actually reminding you of how your dad treated you. And so it's activating something inside of you. It's making your chest tight. It's making your throat tight, something. That is all going to affect how you take pictures of the family in front of you. And it's also, like you said, the magnet shavings, right? It's creating this situation where you're being put into fight or flight response with this family. But if you don't even recognize that there's trauma lingering, you don't even know what's going on inside of your body. And that can be so overwhelming. And it follows you through to editing the pictures, delivering the pictures, client communications, all of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like we could go on for forever, but we've got so many good questions that we're going to go through. Yeah. I hope that for those that are listening, they're able to pause for a second, maybe even pause this episode and think back to a time where Maybe it was a hard session, and really think through and think why, not surface level, but maybe dig deep, because you might be very surprised at what you come up with if you actually take the time to like really explore it. And I think that leads us into my next question for you. And I mentioned this earlier, but the word trauma can feel overwhelming, and like it's quickly dismissed by a lot of people. So many people are like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm fine. There's no issues here. But what are, like, from your experience, what are some of the telltale signs of unresolved trauma that really women in general, or anybody, but us photographers, should be mindful of?
Sure, sure. It reminds me of that meme with like a little dog drinking a cup of coffee and the house is on fire around them, and like, everything's okay. So again, like you said, and Bessel van der Kolk says, the body keeps the score. And so somatic symptoms, so physical symptoms, especially for us right now in the times we're living in, the feeling of exhaustion, that feeling of exhaustion that no matter how much time you take off and how much sleep you get and how many vacations you take, that you just can't shake the heavy feeling, the exhausted feeling. It can show up in lack of motivation. It absolutely can show up in all those kind of physical ways that you mentioned earlier, your face getting flushed and hot, a heaviness in your chest, those somatic symptoms. And then self-doubt. We, as mothers, as I know for myself, when I adopted my daughter, and I remember the moment I looked at my office and was shutting the door on my office before I went to New York to adopt my daughter. And I remember thinking, my work will never be the same again. And part of what came in for me after that was the self-doubt. There's so much out there in the world and so much messaging in general, like you said too earlier, about just being a mother, identifying as a female, being female identified. It's easy to hang your hat on some of that. So when you've got the unresolved trauma, which is all about safety, like when we talk about trauma, or we talk about this, a long-term negative impact from an experience you've had, we're talking about safety. And so it's just any way that your body doesn't feel safe. So self-doubt, and then imposter syndrome is part of the way that unresolved trauma can show up in our work.
Yeah. And that was one of my questions for you, because I feel like so many people within our community struggle with doubting themselves, struggle with imposter syndrome, just as entrepreneurs in general. I'm sure that outside of the photography community, entrepreneurs struggle with that, but specifically within our community, that's tough for a lot of people, and myself included. We say this all the time: just because we've been doing this for a long time doesn't mean we look around and don't doubt ourselves. There can be someone that's brand new on the scene, and I can look at them and be like, my gosh, their work is incredible and 10 times better than mine. And do I even belong in this niche anymore? So I feel for those two specific things, self-doubt and imposter syndrome, those are really tough hurdles for us as entrepreneurs. And I think that connecting that to past trauma and those feelings of inadequacy, making that bridge would be helpful in erasing those negative feelings for so many people. Because I don't know that I go both ways. I think that sometimes having a little bit of, maybe it's not self-doubt, I don't know what word I'm looking for. I always need something there to fuel my continuous steps forward, if you will. But there are so many people that are constantly second guessing themselves, and that leads to them not valuing themselves, not charging enough money. They eventually burn out, they close their doors. And that is what we want to take away, remove all of that, and really find the link between where is that self-doubt coming from? Where is that link to? And how can we make sure that we honor what it's trying to actually tell us so that we can then move forward.
Absolutely, Allison. And that's where that self-work comes in, and the self-awareness, going back to safety. And it's the framework that I understand any trauma experience. There's common themes when it comes to safety and past trauma. Themes like, do I belong? There's something wrong with me, or I'm different, or I stand out, which are what imposter syndrome is, right? And not all imposter syndrome comes from unresolved past trauma, but if it does, there's definitely going to be a relationship and then a nervous system that might get hijacked with those somatic symptoms that we listed earlier. When you're dealing with feelings of safety, the need to feel safe, the need to feel ease, but that's missing, or that's just what's coming up in and around your work. When your nervous system, again, with those magnets, can get hijacked because of a past trauma, you become hypervigilant, even if you're not aware of it. And none of us are aware of all the things, right? I've been in therapy my whole adult life, and I can tell you, I have to work on it every day. This is what I do every day, and I talk about it every day. So it's not to say that we're not all out there doing our best, right? But if something doesn't feel safe, we become hypervigilant, and then nothing feels safe. So work doesn't feel safe. Relationships don't feel safe. Family sometimes doesn't feel safe. So it is, I think, really important to figure out, is that something that is from unresolved past trauma?
So the photography industry that we work in, it can be tough to navigate, and it's competitive and it's demanding. And we hear that the market is saturated. And sometimes, especially with new photographers, they look around and they're trying to like find their place in our industry. And so how can photographers prioritize their mental health and like their own well-being while also having the room to build their own businesses?
I think, again, having a community, a place where you can be vulnerable and open to sharing what you're going through, hearing feedback, that seeking opportunities to just learn more, like versus being driven by the imposter syndrome, like you had said earlier. Definitely boundaries and whatever that means to you, it's going to be different for everybody, and sticking to them, practicing saying no. And I wrote down in my notes too, charging what you're worth. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult. It's so difficult as a business owner. I really think it is doubles down when you're a female business owner. There's expectations of just of women and mothers, and the expectation of what we should give and what we should give at a lower cost or for free, or in a way that martyrs us. And that goes back to the boundaries, really figuring out that price and sticking with it, charging what you're worth. I also really believe in the practice of any mindfulness as a practice and a skill. How we recognize that our nervous system is getting hijacked is when we're practicing mindfulness, when our nervous system is not being hijacked. In the moment, it's helpful, but it doesn't necessarily solve it. It can be really hard when our nervous system is hijacked. So practicing any artwork that is not just motherhood photography and your passion of artwork. And I know everyone's suggesting books, and I'm like, oh, I want to read this clinical book on trauma. It's fun for me. But kind of stepping out of my comfort zone and putting down boundaries and doing my own artwork. So stepping away from your business and your profession work and practicing mindfulness, practicing noticing what's happening in your body when things are not in crisis and your nervous system is not being hijacked.
Yeah, I think that creating space for ourselves is probably one of the hardest things that we do as women, as mothers, as small business owners, but it's also one of the most impactful things that we can do as women, as mothers, as small business owners. Having done that over the last 6 months for myself, it's what has led to the most growth by far, is just creating that space to allow myself to breathe. You're not just going from client to kids to husband to house to all the giving yourself, setting boundaries with other people, but also just setting boundaries for yourself and creating space so that you can really do, I don't know, it's not even about necessarily doing work for yourself, but just giving yourself the room to breathe, to figure out what direction you need to go, what you need in that moment, what you're feeling. I think that so many of us realize that we're on autopilot and businesses can't be built on autopilot.
Absolutely. And it goes back to some of those feelings of self-doubt, imposter syndrome, where we're just on the wheel. And when we get into that space, it's all about control, right? You mentioned a little bit about the photography business and it's competitive. And in the last few years, I can see the art world and many other areas just being commodified in this way that can feel impossible firsthand. But it's all about that control, right? When we feel like we're in control, we get this sense of feeling more safe. And on the larger scale, we're doing it as a community and as a people. And then that kind of fuels that, like, just going through the motions. And so, yeah, it can be so hard to take the space. And I think one of the things that happens for me is I'll take the space and I just need to sleep, or it feels that way. And what that is a nervous system response. Our bodies, like, they know what to do. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But then we get into our brains and we're like, wait, I'm just sitting around the house. I haven't gotten out of my pajamas. I'm puttering around when I could be doing all these things. And then it goes back to reinforcing the imposter syndrome and the self-doubt. So it's like figuring out where we can intervene and create that distance in that space.
Yeah. And I think to speak to what you just said, and we talk about this often, it's hard for a small business owner to know when is enough. When I was a nurse, I clocked in, I did my work, I clocked out, I went home, and there I had my review every year. I got my measly little raise. That was it. And that we don't have that as photographers we're everything. We're the accountant, we're the social media manager, we are the marketing director, we do it all. And there's not really at least for me, and I'm sure that lots of people would agree, there's not really someone to turn to that's going to say, hey, Allison, that's enough. You did enough today, for the week, for the month, for the year. It's hard to set that ceiling, that boundary on your day. And then also in that day or week or year, create the space for yourself and also not feel guilty about taking that space.
Sure. Which just comes back to, and can come back again, not for everybody, but can come back to unresolved trauma. If you are somebody who, and in general, if you're somebody who's experienced early childhood trauma, abuse or neglect in the home, your ability to overcompensate becomes a coping mechanism. Your ability to make sure all the things get done, you come last, everyone else comes first, that becomes a way that arguably you survived. Somebody survived a childhood traumatic experience. And then as adults, it turns into maladaptive skills that just maybe could be helpful in running a business, but we're just going through the motions and we're not able to be present. And so just bringing it back to that connection. And then the shame comes in. You mentioned guilt, and I would just add shame to that. The shame comes in of, left community mental health a few years ago to start my own business. And I think I just was having this conversation with somebody and I was like, yeah, but if I don't take another client, like, I'm responsible for taking care of putting food on the table. I'm a single mom. Like, I'm responsible for making sure I've got money in savings and I can fix the car when this or that happens. And so it can feed into any other shame you're carrying, like those, like the magnetic shavings, right? So to me, again, it just all, it all is so connected and so combined. And then because our nervous system takes over, we don't always know like where it's coming from. Or to me, I still, like I said, I talk about this all day long. I teach about it. I go to my own therapy. And then sometimes I'm like, what is going on with me this week? And then I remember, or I have a conversation with somebody and continue to go back to that practice.
It's hard. It's hard sometimes to connect the dots, to figure out this is where what I'm currently struggling with and connect it to something that's happened in the near past or the far past. And then also just being okay with saying, and yeah, that happened. Again, I feel like for a lot of people, trauma is a word that carries a lot of weight, and I don't know exactly like the words that I'm trying to say, but basically it's if someone says they have trauma, it also comes with a side of work to do. And so they just want to put their head in the sand and keep moving forward. And we talked about this a little bit on, we had a like our private monthly coaching call inside of our membership community. And I was talking about this as people were signing on, and a lot of people were in agreement that there's a lot of us that carry past traumas, and it really does affect our current day as business owners and mothers and all of the things. And I think that if more people were just aware of it and were able to like really talk about it, it would really change the way that they navigated business and life and all of the things. We talk about setting boundaries and all of the ways to eventually create space for ourselves. And it's something that us as photographers struggle with. And I think that if step one, right, is saying, yes, like I do have these feelings. It's not just superficial on the surface. It actually is something that I struggle with. And then from there, you can do the work to connect the dots. And like what you're saying, find those little shavings and figure out where they all belong. And I guess that leads me into my next question about boundaries, and whether it's with clients or colleagues or our own schedules. That's something that we as photographers really struggle with, especially I feel like the photographers that are new to the scene. They want to say yes to everything. They want to say yes to weekends. They want to say yes to holidays. They want to say yes to stuff that's cheap, that's not going to make them any money. And what are your tips on maintaining healthy boundaries? Because for us, that means no burnout, and it ensures like sustainable practices for business.
Sure. I think figuring out a schedule, I can tell you for myself as a small business owner, not a photographer, but like keeping a schedule, building a schedule and sticking to it. There are days that I absolutely will not work. There are times of the day that I absolutely will not work. It took me time to get to a place, but that's been my practice for years now. So, you know, because I do intense trauma work and because of the program that I hold, sometimes people are in crisis. That's a different story, but I'm clear, and I'm very clear with my clients. To me, part of how I understand putting boundaries down, which sometimes I think was taught to us in a different way, and maybe in the past is seen as unprofessional. But I'm very clear to say, I'm a single mom. Sometimes my kid's going to get sick or school's going to be snowed out in Asheville, and I'm going to have to last minute cancel. And so that's like before we even start our work together. I have a pain disorder and an autoimmune condition. I tell my folks that right up front too. So part of boundary setting too is like taking the risk to be vulnerable and be honest with yourself and also with the people that you're working with. So that I think come then secondary or part of that is the skill of keeping a schedule, really not wavering on that. And then if you do pick the weekend, work on the weekend or a holiday, or take a job that's going to pay less, give yourself some grace. Offer yourself some self-compassion that, all right, this, I know what I'm doing right now. I know that this is coming from maybe a feeling of deficit. Maybe this is coming from me spinning around a shame or guilt or not feeling good enough. And then try to learn from it. But also to offer yourself a lot of grace.
Well, and I think also, and I can speak for myself as well, I see a lot of people pleasing or people pleasers, sure. And that leads to a lot of broken boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so linking that, figuring out the why behind that, I think is pivotal and huge for people who want to keep or implement, keep and maintain boundaries, because that for me has been a really big, what's the word? I have been successful in my business because I have implemented boundaries early on and kept them. Did I work weekends in the very beginning? Yes. Did I stop working weekends quickly? Yes. Was I too cheap of a photographer whenever I first started and didn't even know it? Yes. But did I implement those boundaries to say, no, I'm not going to say yes to anything that is below my minimum cost of doing business? Yes. And so figuring out what those boundaries are for you and sticking to them can be huge for your business and whether or not it is around in a few years. And also whether us as humans have the space to grow with the business. Because if you're constantly breaking those boundaries, that does something to ourselves. It leaves little worth of ourselves if we are constantly saying yes to something that we want to say no to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's like you said, it's a process of practice. It took some time. I think one of the things that I'm really realizing myself in the last few years as a single mom, that shifted a lot for me as a business owner, that because again, there's all this messaging around people pleasing and martyring ourselves for our work. And then you add any unresolved feelings of shame as that might relate to unresolved trauma. And you want to say yes all the time, but really becoming clear about it being okay that I love what I do. I love it. And also I love that I can take care of myself and my daughter. I love that I'm able to, if the car breaks down, I can fix it. What a privilege. And being okay to put myself first. I think in general, we have this idea that if we're passionate about something, it's like at all cost, throw everything aside. That's the priority. And it took me some time and some space again. If somebody asked me to do something, I never answer right away. I'm like, let me think on it. So people think it does take me a while to answer emails sometimes, but a lot of times I'm just thinking on it. Is even talking with you today, Allison, I'm like, let me think on this. Let me make sure, because I really want to do it, but let me make sure I'm doing this out of a place of like desire. This feels good for me and I'm not doing it for another reason. And so taking that space, but I do think that also takes practice in being okay with making money to survive and to pay for the things that we need. It's a very difficult conversation to have in our society. And it's that much more difficult, I think, for traditionally and historically for women and mothers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that women who are passionate about something and good at something are, for whatever reason, it is inherently very hard for us to charge something, because when there's that emotional connection, suddenly it gets very cloudy, very murky, and we feel like we just need to like like there couldn't possibly be a value to something that we hold so near dear to us, right? It's sure, we can go and show up at our nursing job and make $35 an hour, clock in and clock out, and we have no problem taking that money, that paycheck. But if it's something that we are doing, likely is much more time because we're wearing all the hats, doing everything behind the scene. Suddenly we feel, whoa, whenever we get that $4,000, $5,000 order, it's our hands are shaking as we're accepting that credit card because it's hard to equate all of what we love and do and have created from our heart and from our soul and translate that into a monetary value that is being a transaction.
Right. And it requires us to show up and be present with our self-worth, which comes right back to any feelings of shame or anything that's related to unresolved past trauma. How we're able to be present and with our self-worth, with our self-identity in the work that we do. It's a process, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think this wasn't on our list of interview questions, yeah, so please forgive me, but I think that social media is the bane of my existence and I show up there because I have to for my business. But when I do, and maybe you've seen it as well, it's like, there's this message that's sent to women. It's everything's fine. You're fine. It's all fine. Have the glass of wine before bedtime. Just keep going, keep hustling, keep grinding. And society has not created a space for us to just actually pause and look at ourselves, right? It's mm-hmm. just the go, go mentality and put a Band-Aid on it. And I absolutely hate that. I feel like it has told so many of us that the answer and what everyone else is doing is buying the t-shirt that says hustle or I'm fine, everything's fine. And it's not. And it's okay to create some space, lay out boundaries, look at yourself, look within, feel what you're feeling in certain really hard moments and situations, and then respond to them and give yourself and your body the space to breathe in those moments. And then make shifts and changes within your life and your business and what you're doing so that you can honor those feelings and not just keep moving forward without even paying attention to what your body is trying to tell you.
Absolutely, which it fosters the one thing we want. Like it fosters disconnection, which goes against the one thing we want, which is connection. We want connection with our families, the people we love, our communities, our work, families and individuals that you're photographing, people that I'm sitting across with, and that's what we want. And it does, it keeps us from that. I wish you could see my notes, Allison. I made some notes for the questions, and one thing that's like underlined and circled is no one is okay in caps, exclamation point, which is, I have just been like embodying this and just sharing this. And it's just because I can't show up. And that's the other thing that I've learned about trauma and presence and this work is that I have to show up my authentic self. And people who work with me know sometimes like I'm a mess. Sometimes I really struggle with executive functioning skills and like schedules. And I really try to be transparent. And sometimes I'm like, why do people trust me with their mental health? But my goal, and I think it's what we're all trying to do, is show up as our authentic self so that we can be in connection and be present for our lives. Find the joy in our work, find the joy in our lives, find the joy in everything that we do and everything we've talked about, the unresolved trauma, the way our nervous system gets hijacked, shame, it all interferes with that. And then you look at the world right now in, I don't know, ongoing aftermath. I think we all see it in different ways of the last 4 years of COVID, politically what's been going on. And when you're going through a trauma, the goal, our bodies are so smart, right? It's just persevere, right? So we go into either fight, flight, or freeze to get through the trauma. And so COVID, for example, we white knuckled through, and like the adrenaline is like going and we're doing the thing. We're like making sure we're doing the work, and we're making sure we're getting food on the table, and we're doing all the thing. And then we've got maybe what seems like a reprieve, or it is a reprieve. Things have shifted. You know, it's some people feel like it's behind us. This is the time of the work. Because when your nervous system gets like a little bit of ease, you're like, oh, I can untense my muscles a little bit. That's when those somatic symptoms come in. So when we're like selling like the glass of wine and the persevere, to me, it's just, it's not realistic. It's a setup for people to fail. And then it just can, it reinforces that shame and some of that imposter syndrome, I think, when we're like, oh man, is it me? Why can everybody else get it together? I don't think anybody's getting it together. I think we're just, we're people are like, we're socialized to hide it and white knuckle through, which is harming us more than it's helping us. That's my long way of saying, I totally agree with you, Allison. When we can be transparent and honest in all capacities, in all the ways that we're in connection and in community with each other, professional settings as well, I think that's part of that vulnerability, like Brene Brown would say, is part of how we heal ourselves.
I was listening to Brene Brown, and she was talking about that as well, and how important it is to take off your armor and have a place, a community, a relationship, whatever it is, where you can be vulnerable. Because if you don't have that, what was it? I'm going to mess it up, but basically that you cannot be, you cannot have courage without being vulnerable. I think that I'm saying that. I've just started reading the book, but yeah, it's, if you have the courage to go do all of these things, to open a business, to raise your prices, to change up your website, to try offering a new product, all of these things, that all comes with being vulnerable. And anyone who says differently is full of it. There's, you can, you, being vulnerable is something that every person does always. And you cannot go through life without doing that. And if you, like what Brene Brown says, if you wear this armor and you just pretend that it's not happening, it's, there's, from what, I'm not that far into the book, but basically what I'm understanding is the ones that actually show how, the ones that are actually vulnerable and show what they are dealing with are the ones that are going to create those connections and create that community, create that trust, create that place of belonging, all of that. And that's what's so important right now in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love Brene Brown, and I love how she talks about shame reinforces and fosters disconnection, and vulnerability fosters connection. And I can say, my business is different than the photography business, but it isn't in a lot of ways. We're sitting with people and their stories, right? And those come out in different ways. And for me, that really has helped me so much in my ability to be present in my work. And sometimes it's a disaster. I'll tell a tiny story that this week, in the last few weeks, I'm dealing with a lot of past trauma, family stuff, a lot of stress. And I had this wonderful client wait for me in my office the other day. And that, like, the second that I walked into my office, I got a terrible nosebleed. And I had to say, I'm sorry, while I'm standing there with tissues in my nose. And I contacted them later and checked in with them and was like, oh man, that's got to be the worst thing when you walk into your therapist's office. But she thanked me and said, thank you so much for checking in. And I was embarrassed, but I was like, I have to, obviously she could see I had the nosebleed. When we meet this week, I'm going to say, I've been through a lot of stress, and I'm going to be open and honest. I'm not going to ask my clients to solve my problems, but I'm going to show up in an authentic and vulnerable way. And it's really how I'm able to do the work that I do, and to sit with people in their traumas, and to sit with people who have caused a considerable amount of pain. And the only way that I have figured out sustainability is to just come as like my messy self and be open and honest about it. Now, it's not for everybody, but the people who it's for, I feel like we do have really great and deep connection. And it really encourages creativity in my work because it encourages risk taking, which I think also comes back to everything we're talking about. Safe risk taking, to be creative, to try something new. And when you're vulnerable, you're not as worried about making a mistake. But yeah.
Well, and I think too, we can show up and we can say, hey, I've been there, done that. I failed. And it's okay to... Right. It's okay to try and to fail. The point is that you tried. And I think that's where there can be a big miss, is when people aren't willing to be vulnerable. They have to put on that armor and they have to pretend that their business is ironclad and they never fail and they're super successful and they're making all this money. And that's just, I have yet to see where that is true in the photography world. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone has had failures. And that's part of the reason why the Motherhood Anthology was created, is just to have a place and a community where everyone can come together and they can share their stories. They can ask questions. They can get feedback. They can do all of that with knowing that, especially inside of the membership community, we're going to answer with tough love. We're not going to sugarcoat an answer. We're going to say exactly what they need because that's how they grow. But it's a place where we all show up and we're all vulnerable, and we can talk about where we've made mistakes, where we've had mishaps, where we've fallen short. And then we can also talk about our wins. And I think that there is how you create a community where people find that connection and the friendship and the support and the trust. And that is big when you are doing something that can sometimes be so lonely, like building your own business.
Absolutely. And just going back to Brené Brown, she says, share your story with people who are worthy of hearing it. And vulnerability is that antidote to shame. So building that community and having that place is amazing. That's so wonderful that you all have built that community. That I know how much that must mean to your members. And I know, I agree, it can be so lonely. It can be so lonely to do all the things that we're doing. And then we're like, oh, you're doing the same thing. We're all like in these little isolated bubbles until we come together and share our stories.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what I said in the very beginning. You don't, at least for me, I don't ever have anyone saying, that's enough. You did enough today, or you did enough for the week, or whatever. But when you're in a community where people are sharing their stories and their wins and their failures and all of that, it lets you see, okay, yeah, I also failed there, or, oh, I also had a success. And it lets you realize you really are like just, you're doing it just like everybody else. There's, yeah. You don't have to have a million things on your to-do list every single day, and it's okay to take breaks and all of those things. And I feel like if enough people are sharing and they're vulnerable, then it creates room for everybody to like breathe and not, I don't know. You can have a community where there's this hustle culture, work harder, work stronger, work faster. And then you can have a community where there's a focus on boundaries and being sustainable and focusing on yourself. And I know that's what the Motherhood Anthology is trying to really foster, is making sure that we are helping businesses set themselves up so that they're here 5-10 years from now and not burning out on year one because they've done things the wrong way. So I hope that whoever is listening, you find a community, whether it's photography or whatever. And if you are looking for a photography community, you join TMA because it's a super special place where there's friendship and there is support and there is a lot of people being vulnerable about a lot of different things throughout their business. And that has led to some really beautiful friendships and stories and, I don't know, just moments where we just feel normal.
That is so cool. That is so cool. And it's the opportunity to be part of a community like that is also another way that we heal. lots of us are healing from trauma bonds with family, toxic family bonds. And so being in like a healthy group with boundaries. And so it's just another addition and another way to heal. And I agree. The more that we can just be open and honest with each other. And I feel like it's the reason I'm able to show up to work, really is, in a high burnout, working with people, at any capacity working with people, it's high burnout because it's hard. We trigger each other. Mm-hmm. And then we don't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, Marie, thank you. I guess my last question is there anything else you would like to share with us?
I don't think so. I'm just really excited to meet you, Allison, and to be introduced to the Motherhood Anthology. And it really is wonderful that this conversation is happening, and I'm just happy to be a part of it today. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, I think, and I hope that this is going to be received by many and hopefully will spark something in a lot of people and at least allow them to start taking a breath and looking around and making some space for themselves so that they can honor themselves, their feelings, and in turn, that's going to just ripple effect out to everything else in their lives, whether that's business or children or partners or whatever. But it all starts with us.
How beautiful. Beautifully said.
Have a good day, Marie.
You too, Allison. Take care. Bye.